Morning, everyone. Welcome to Murfreesboro Church today. Let's all stand on the first song, favorite gospel songs, Gray Book, page 87. Won't you stand? Page 87. Singing, you may be seated. Let's turn over to page 140. 140. I can tell you now the time. 140.
I'm not afraid of the dark. morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out today. How is everybody? Boy, really enthusiastic, wasn't it? Want to say, first of all, as Brother Adam said outside, we've got some of our sick folks back. I got back a couple weeks ago. Good to have Brother Sonny back with us. He's had a long sick spell. I don't know if y'all know, Sister Shirley has slipped in too. And we are glad that both of them are well enough to be able to be back with us today. I'm satisfied I'm being troubled because I didn't mention somebody else, but we are glad that each and every one of you are back here today and ready for the service of the Lord. For me, I cheated on some of you. I got Brother Sam while I was out. I got him to call me, and I got to listen on the phone, so y'all didn't get that privilege. But it was still really good for me just to get to come back to the house of the Lord. And I'd spent a long time. Well, I've never been that sick where that I couldn't be in the house of the Lord because of sickness, but I can only imagine how it's been since December, I think, for both of you, to not be able to come because of sickness. And we are glad that God has allowed you to come back today. If you missed last Sunday, I'm glad the Lord allowed you the opportunity to come back today. I'm glad that whenever we come together, we can serve the Lord. And a lot of times, well, we as a people, we kind of think, well, we really don't make that much difference. It doesn't matter if I'm here or not, is what a lot of times we say. But I realize, now preachers and pastors notice this, and what I mean is, you may think that you're not needed to be here, but you are. You all have a special place right here in this building on this day. And God's got a reason for you being here. Oh, no, you may be thinking, no, I don't do anything. You do more. You uplift my day, if nothing else, just to see your face. And you think, you're happy to see me? Yes, I am. And I think there's a lot of people in this church house is just so glad to see you here today. So let's all be about the Lord's business. We're glad to have our visitors with us today. I hope that the Lord will bless you in your presence here today. I hope you're blessed to get to see somebody born into the family of God today. We've got lost ones that have said in times past that they don't know the Lord. And so we want to be praying for them. We've got some that are just now getting right at the age of accountability. And as soon as they reach that age, when they know they're lost, that's the best time to be saved. And I want to encourage you, when you know that you are not saved, when you realize there's something wrong, right then is the best time to start asking God to save you. Put your trust in Him right there. Start praying right then. And that's what I want to encourage them to do. But let's all be prayerful for this service today. We're going to move right along with our service today. If you pay any attention to the news, that's a subject that the world is really teaching a lot against these days. And they're missing the boat so badly these days. But we need, as a church, as saved individuals, as church members, we need to reinforce this. To our children, to our grandchildren, we need to let them know what the truth is. And it's not according to man, but according to God. Amen. As Brother Sam said, He made them male and female. And as he said, and I done thought, I'm going to try to quote this, but he beat me to it. On that sixth day, after he'd done that, he said it was very good. There's a reason for that. It's all very good what God did. Thankful for this morning. Thankful for the good lesson. I pray that it'll continue in our children's hearts. I hope it gets into every one of us's hearts this morning. It's something that it's just going to need to be talked about even more and more. If we don't tell people what the truth is, they're going to believe a lie. You know yourself, it's easier to believe a lie than it is to believe the truth many times. So let's reinforce that very strongly these days. Anybody got a word on your heart before we go any further in the service? We're going to be going to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. We want everybody to be prayerful for this service today. Let's ask the Lord to be in it today. Does anybody have a prayer request before we go any further? I do want to mention that Sister Cheryl talked about her brother this morning and wanted prayer for him. But let's remember his wife and that she needed to be saved. So let's do remember that this morning. And let's be prayerful for the others of our church that are sick, not as well. Sister Otto, I talked with her the other day, and she's no longer living in her apartment, but she's moved into an assisted living. So she said she was still falling. So let's do remember her in our prayers, along with Sister Theta and some of the others. Let's do remember them in our prayers. Somebody else got a prayer request on your heart? Lord help. Let's do remember this lady, and let's pray the Lord will spare her, that she can come to church, but that everything will go well, and that if she's not saved, she'll be saved. Somebody else. Let's be prayerful one for another, and let's ask the Lord to come and be in our service today. We're going to call on one to start our prayer today, but we want everybody to pray today. If you possibly can at all, just pray whichever way you'd like to. Brother Rodney, would you start our prayer, please?
Let's sing 232. 232. Good singing this morning. Let's do an old slow hymn. Let's slow it down just a tad. 207. 207. Hand in hand with Jesus. thankful for Jesus this morning? Amen. We'll do one more song. Choir, won't you stand? We'll sing 190 as our last song this morning.
Good morning, everybody, once again. We are glad to see each and every one here today. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning, a word of testimony or anything? We appreciate each and every one being here today, and our message today, I'm going to tell you where my reading lesson is going to come from, and that's the 1 John, the 5th chapter, short verse. Or short reading lesson, I'll say that. It's a short reading lesson. I don't know about y'all, but I'll be glad when my legs get stout enough and I can do away with this stool. That's something that I'm looking forward to. But it is good to see each and every one here this morning. And let me begin this message this morning in this way. Years ago, Brother Sam has been there. I think he said his daddy pastored over at Cave Springs years ago. And but while I was pastor over there years ago, we had a couple that came and had a little daughter, I guess probably 9-10 year old. And she got under conviction during the service, and she came to the altar and was seeking the Lord. And I've never made a habit. I was taught as a young preacher and as a young church member, you don't ask people to testify. That's the modern stuff you do. And I didn't ask them to testify, don't get me wrong. But it struck me that night, and by the Lord's help, that's what I did was this. I said, this young lady, she doesn't know what salvation feels like. And I just said, I want to start on this side of the house. And I said, just in one word or ever how you want to say it, just tell me how you felt when you got saved. And I started with the ladies over here, and they started, I'd say probably 80% of them said, Oh, it was just joy, was what it was. Now, some of them would say it was just peace. Some of them just talked about, oh, I was so happy. Some of them would actually go ahead and give the full testimony about salvation, was what they would do. And in doing that, they just blessed your soul, is what you did. One, never will forget Brother J.C. Durden. He said, I got saved at home in bed. He said, everything was so bright. He said, I remember coming back to church that afternoon. And he said, there was Uncle Clarence and his wife. And he said, I always thought they was the ugliest folks I'd ever seen. But he said, that day they was the prettiest ones I'd ever seen. Changed his outlook. Some of the others told about their being saved. But the idea was that they told about how it felt to be saved. Now, last Sunday, and I don't know the mind of God. He had me preach on our cardinal doctrine of baptism. Today, I'm going to preach on one of our other cardinal doctrines. This is one of the things that we as old-time Baptists, we believe in. And basically what we do is we believe that you have a no-soul salvation. I'm thankful for that today. So many people, you ask them about being saved, and they'll say, well, I hope I'll get to heaven. You hear some people that when you ask them about it, and they say, well, I've been baptized. I joined the church. Some of them will tell you, well, I made a turnaround is what I did. I had a lady tell me that one time. She said, I turned my life around. She said, I was doing drugs. And she said, I quit doing the drugs and I'd be out in church and that's what's going to take me to heaven. I thought, no, it's not. So what I want us to get into today more than anything else, and we're taking a reading lesson or a thought today from the 10th verse of 1 John, the 5th chapter. And it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, I'd like to jump in on that for a minute, but we're going to move right on into our message here today, because I want us to see today, I want to reinforce it into us that have been saved. I want it to be reinforced in you today that you can know that you've been saved. Every so often, every one of us will have the duty of telling somebody, yes, I know I've been saved. They'll say, where do you get that? Out of the Bible. Where do you get it? It's in the Scripture. Now, if you want to write these scriptures down that I'm going to use today, go right ahead. But I want you to get in your mind today that, yes, this is reinforcement to us that are saved. But to those that are not saved today, I want you to know you can know that you are saved today. You can know it when God gives you that salvation. You'll know when it happens. That's the main thing today. Now, I want you to understand something first of all today in this service. I want you to see, first of all, you're going to be a new creature today. Yes, a new creature is what the Scripture tells us today that you are going to be. In this, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and I got to get my pages turned right, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and this is the 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, I want you to get that today. You're going to be new. I'm starting off with this for a particular reason. The day that I got saved, that night, I became a new creature. The way that I felt that night that I got saved was the only way as a boy that I could describe it. I felt fresh. I felt like a piece of lettuce, you know, in the early morning when it's got the dew on it, just crisp, fresh as it could be. That's how I felt. That was my way
of describing the peace of God that he gave me. Now, that may not make any sense to you, but what it really means today, being saved is being a new creature. You see what God does when that you are saved, when he saves your soul, he takes that individual that you are and he changes it completely is what he does. When he changes it completely, what he does, he makes it completely new. He takes that sinful man and he makes it clean. I used this other night. As the Bible says, he takes that old sinful soul that is dirty, that is so corrupt in its way, and he makes it clean. He makes it whiter than snow. In the book of Ezekiel, look at verse 19 of the 11th chapter. What he says here, God says, and I will give them one heart. And he says, and I will put a new spirit within you, is what he says. A new spirit within you. You see, salvation today is not something, that is of a physical nature. Many people today think that their salvation is all about this flesh. It's changing what their body did. Like that lady said, she gave up her drugs and she started going to church. I'm glad she did. But that will not save you as far as changing what your flesh is. There's got to be a new creature made. God's going to give you a new heart is what he's going to do. Excuse me. What he says here, and I will put a new spirit within you, and this is the way that God describes it. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. Now, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to a lot of people until you think about how hard-hearted many people are. I was hard-hearted when that I was a sinner. I went to the altar, I sought the Lord, but I was stubborn when it came to giving my heart over to the Lord. I was not willing to do that. I saw individuals at times that were so hard-hearted about being saved that they wouldn't even try to seek God. They were so hard-hearted about being saved that they didn't even want to go to church. They did not want to hear God's name mentioned. I'll give you an example of a hard-hearted man. Our brother Earl down in Florida, he said when he was a young man that had been saved real long, he said he got the impression to go to a man. And he said, I went to him and I started to talk to him about the Lord. And before I could get just a word or two out, the man said, I don't want to hear about your God. I don't want to hear about your salvation. I don't want any part of it. Brother Earl said, I guess I was bold in what I said, but he said, the Lord gave me this. He said, sir, am I to understand that you don't want to be saved? He said, you're exactly right. He says, do you mean that you want to go to hell then? He said, that's exactly right. Brother Earl said, then I'll pray that you go. Now that's a little bit bold, and that gets you whooped in a lot of places. But he said the next night, the man was standing at the end of the building, and he said, as I got out of the car, he motioned for me to come over there. And he said, honestly, I had said something very harsh to him. And he said, I was ready to fight if I had to or to defend myself. But he said, when I got to him, he broke down and he said, sir, I don't want to go to hell. Please pray that I can get saved. That was a hard-hearted man, but the words of God's man had an effect upon him. You see, that heart gets so hard that they do not think that they need salvation. But when God saves that soul, he changes out that heart. He called it a stony heart. Anybody seen a live rock? A rock that get up and walk around? Have you ever seen one that looked like it had a heartbeat or anything? You see, that was the transformation that he was showing to them. He said, I'll take that stony heart out and I'll put in a heart of flesh. You see, the heart of flesh that we talk about is alive within us. It's beating. It beats. If you put your hand in the right place, you'll feel your heart beating, won't you? You'll feel it. You'll know that it's giving you life. And that's what the analogy was here, that God wanted them to see. You're getting something that's alive, that's living. And that's the change that we look for when we get saved. A new creature, a new heart. We get that. Thus we know that we are saved. Now, I want to go right along with this. I want you to see that there is a change. Now, I talked about the lady, how that she wanted to change her life. But if you really and truly get saved, in that moment and in that time, God changes your thinking. He changes the way that you are going to live. And if you'll continue to pay attention, you'll get a big difference in your life. But notice I said, it's a change in the way that you're thinking. But I like the way that the psalmist David put it in the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms. In verse 3, he said, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praises to our God. Listen to that. Is that not a change of the way he was thinking? He says, he give me a new song. Now, not every one of us are songwriters. I used to pen down some words years ago. I used to make up songs and such as that. But the fact of the matter is, the new song is a new way of thinking. It's a different destination. It's a different way of giving it out. You've got a different attitude about you. And what he says, he puts a new song even in his mouth. Songs are praise, right? Singing is praising God. You see, you're no longer praising your flesh, not the things of the world, but you're praising God. I remember when that I told that I was saved. Now, I had peace. Don't get me wrong here. I had the peace of the Lord inside of me, and I told you I felt new inside. But when Brother Bill asked me, Ricky, have you been saved? And first I said, yeah, I think so. And then I started feeling my salvation. That's when the praise started coming out. And I said, yes, I have been. I knew I was saved at that moment in time. But that was my way of praising God. I started to rejoice in the Lord. I didn't shout, but I was happy. You know, a lot of people wants to talk about, well, I was happy. Like I said, probably 80% of those people that day said something to the fact that they were happy. They had joy. Those things are similar, aren't they? And that is partly what we want to try to bring out today in this scripture today, is that is a way that God gives us a way of manifesting truly being saved. If you go over to 1 Peter in the first chapter, let me get over there. 1 Peter, first chapter, in the 8th verse. I love to read this verse. Whom having not seen, who have we not seen? Jesus? Have we seen God? No. But he said, whom having not seen, ye love. You know, that ye love. That's what Jesus said. You've got to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You got to love him. That's how you get saved, isn't it? But he said, in whom ye love, in whom through no, though, let me try it again, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, he says. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That night when I got saved, oh, there was a joy that came out of me after I talked about being saved. There come a joy, I believe, in the congregation, not because of me, but in the joy of the God saving souls. But the fact of the matter, nobody could do and show the joy that God had put in me other than me. You're the only one that can show that joy unto the world. You need to show it. I want you to understand, that night when I got saved, after I told about being saved, it was unspeakable joy. What do you mean unspeakable? I couldn't describe it. You know, when I felt that joy, I'd never felt anything like that before. But it was there in such a way that it verified the peace that God put in my soul. He did. He verified it just by the joy. There's people that doubts their salvation. Don't get me wrong. Every once in a while, the devil will get in there. Are you sure you're saved? Are you really sure? I go back over there. Yeah, I'm saved. I remember what God did. And yes, it's a joy that's unspeakable. Nothing can compare to what God does for a person when he saves their soul. And it's full of glory in that joy. Remember what I said about Brother JC? He said everything was bright that day. He said it seemed like the sun was brighter than it had ever been that day. Even the people that I thought was so ugly, they were pretty again. It's full of glory. You know what Brother JC was doing? He was showing the glory of God in the fact that he felt that joy of his salvation. In that was such great glory in that way. Now I want to give you another verse here right quick. And in a sense, you might say, well, wait a minute now, preacher. This is not really showing how we know we're saved. But I want you to get this. It does. I want you to look at 1 Timothy 2 and 19. He said, notwithstanding the foundation of God standeth sure. Notice this. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them. Get this. The Lord knoweth them that are his. How do I know that I'm saved? Well, first of all, God gave me peace. I haven't quoted that. Romans 4th chapter, 1st verse. Now, what does it say there? By faith, we have peace with God. Oh, let's go over Romans 8th chapter. Where it says, for God's Spirit, you hear me quote these verses all the time, for God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, with those two verses goes the fact that if we have felt His peace, if we have experienced His Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, then we know that Jesus, that God knows us. Go to John the 10th chapter, verse 28. Don't have this one marked. But what it says is that God knows them that are His. Jesus doing the speaking. Let's see you top Jesus. You can't. Now, here's another way that you know that you're saved. I want you to look at Ephesians 1st chapter, verse 13. Try this verse on. He says, in whom ye also trusted. Hey, we believed. We had our faith in Him. We have trusted in Jesus Christ, haven't we? in whom ye are also trusted, after that ye heard the words of truth. I talked earlier about, I pray these young ones that have not reached the age of accountability, when they hear those words of truth, that they will start to seek God right then, right there, at that time. That's the easiest time to get saved. But what he says here, when they heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Remember what I said about Romans 8 and 16? His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, what God does with that Spirit, when he gets inside of you and he cleans up your soul, and as I said a while ago, he makes it white, he makes it clean, he also seals it up. There ain't going to be no more dirt get in it. There won't be any more troubles that will get into that soul. What he's going to do, he is going to give you that peace. And he seals it up in there that it can't get out. Now, I don't know how many of your young people will know what this is. I used to watch my mother can. I've watched Paula can over the years. And we would listen for that top to give that little pop sound. Maybe it's not a good way of putting it, but we knew that that was sealed up. And we knew that those vegetables, those fruits that were inside of there, they were going to be good because they were sealed. You know what? God has never lost a one that he sealed up. Because what he does, the scripture says that he does it forever. You know, we can go down there in the cellar, and I'd pull out one of them cans of pickles, and I can get that top and finally get it off. And I can pry that seal off. And I can hear it that it's sealed, was sealed. But there's nobody that's going to get a hold of that little can lid of our soul and pull it off. For it says in John 10, "For my God is greater than all, and nobody is able to get us out of his hands." You know, how do you know that you're saved? Oh, he makes you new. He changes you on the inside is what he does. He changes that. He makes it so new that it's forever. And he gives you that joy. He gives you that peace. He gives you that happiness. He gives you all of those things. And he puts it inside of that soul and pops it right in there and seals it. And I want you to notice something. He doesn't set us on the shelf. We're in his hands. For Jesus said, no man can take us from his hands. No man, no devil, no anybody. For he is greater than us all, is what he is. How do you know? How do I know I'm saved? Because he made me new on that night. I've never experienced anything like that until that moment. I never experienced anything like that. But it's still there. It's still there. And if you've really been saved by the grace of God, if you've ever really been saved by the grace of God, it's still there. But if you don't have it, now, let me back that up. If you don't have it now, you ain't got it. But you still got time to get it. Brother Brad, that's our message today. For us that are saved, take that into account. This is to remind us how good God is to us, to let us know that we're one of His children, and to give us the joy and the peace on top of it, and then to seal us in that such a way as that. Think about that. But think about one other thing. Anybody that you know that's not ready, you know what? We've got to work to make sure they get ready while we stand and sing. I, Brother Brad, I want to do something here. Been trying to do this a little more. I've had it requested. If you know you've been saved, you know you've been saved, let's come around, let's shake hands one with another in good Christian love. Let's do that today. It's good for us to do these things. It shows the love of God. It shows these that are lost that they need to be like us, that they need to be saved while we stand and sing.
Gospel songs 280.